Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
Shalom, my dear friends. God bless you. It is so precious to our hearts to be able to study the Bible together, the Word of God, and especially the study of the Gospel of John. And this Gospel is so important for each and every one of us to understand, because in this Gospel of John, we once and again are impressed by the fact that the Spirit of God revealed to us the fact that Jesus the Messiah is indeed God the Son, who became a man in order to provide redemption for mankind. Again, we are quoting once and again the first few verses in this Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You remember that? In John 1:1, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him nothing was made which was made. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Wonderful passage to read as we study the Gospel of John. We have arrived to the 14th chapter, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friends, and in this 14th chapter, we have an assurances that the Lord gives His disciples, who are now anticipating to be left, you might say, here on earth, while the Messiah Himself will be taken back to heaven. And He will go to the cross, and He will die, and He will be resurrected and ascended and returned to heaven from whence He came. You notice what we read in John 14, verses 1 to 15. Jesus, the Messiah, is speaking in the upper room in Jerusalem to His disciples, and He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto Him, "Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Yeshua saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. If ye had known Me, ye should have known My Father also. And from henceforth ye know Him, and have seen Him." Philip saith unto Him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us." Yeshua saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known Me, Philip? He that have seen Me have seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me? The word that I speak unto you, I speak not of Myself, but the Father that dwelleth in Me, He doeth the works. Believe Me that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me, or else believe Me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto My Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. If ye love Me, keep My commandments." Beautiful portion here in John 14, verses 1 to 15. This passage here in verses 1 to 15 is a very encouraging passage, dear brothers and sisters, and we have to remember that Yeshua the Messiah is in the upper room in the city of Jerusalem, keeping Pesach, the feast of Passover, with his disciples, and outflowing as he keep Pesach with his disciples, he introducing before them the new covenant. He is introducing before them what is known to us today, the remembrance meeting, which is really to remind ourselves of the fact that he is the one that became the one that paid for our sins. If you remember, he took the matzah, the unleavened bread, and he said, "Take, this is my body, which is given for you. Eat of it, in remembrance of me." He also took the cup, and he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my name, which is shed, the blood of the covenant, which is shed for you." Why we don't read it here in the Gospel of John, we read it in the Gospels of Luke, in where he had said that this is the bread speaks of his body and the cup speaks of his blood which was shed for the people of God. To remind you, we read Luke chapter 22, "And he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, 'This is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me.' Likewise also the cup after supper saying, 'This cup is the new covenant, Brit Chadasha, in my blood which is shed for you.'" So, we learn that the Lord Jesus was anticipating now to go to the cross and become that Lamb of God, which will take away the sin of this world. So the disciples were discouraged. The disciples needed assurance. The disciples were troubled in their hearts. And wouldn't you be troubled? If you would have been there with the Talmidim, with the disciples, now to be left without their Mashiach in their midst to lead them. So, here in this 14th chapter, there are encouragement given to the disciples by the Messiah himself. In fact, in John chapter 14, the beginning of the chapter and the end of the chapter, Yeshua used this expression, "Let not your heart be troubled." Notice that, verse 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Notice in verse 27 also, in the middle of the verse, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Notice the two expressions. Troubled and afraid. This is how the disciples felt when they knew now that the time is approaching where Yeshua will be taken away from them, as he have already said to them that he must go to the cross. To remind you, beloved, dear brothers and sisters, to remind you, that he already said in John 12, verse 23, "The hour is come that the Son of Man must be glorified." How he will be glorified? Well, "Verily, verily," verse 24, "I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." In other words, he was really teaching them that he, as the corn of wheat, must die in order to bear fruit for God, in order to be able to provide redemption for mankind. You see, my dear brothers and sisters, and dear friend, all the sacrifices that God have instructed his people Israel to offer on altars throughout the history of the nation of Israel, specifically the sacrifices that God had demanded from his people Israel to offer, morning sacrifice, evening sacrifice, Shabbat sacrifice, new moon sacrifices, feast sacrifices, and the Day of Atonement sacrifices, blood had to be shed throughout the history of our people of Israel. But all these blood of the lambs and the rams and the goats and the calves, all of these animals, their blood could never take away sin. God gave them, it was His ordinances, but they never took away sin, they only covered. Kapara in Hebrew, lechaper means to atone. Let me read you a verse that is found in Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, listen to this, with those sacrifices which they, this is the brethren of the Hebrews, which they have offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have not ceased to be offered? You see, he continued, and he said in verse 3, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it is not possible, the Hebrew writer saying to his brethren, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. That's why the Mashiach had to come. That's why Yeshua had to come. And that's why in John 1, in verse 29, John the baptizer, Yohanan HaMatbil, presented the Messiah by saying, behold the Lamb of God, which, notice, not which atone, but which takes away the sin of the world. And that's why the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, said in John chapter 12, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground, it abideth alone, but if it dies, then he bear much fruit. And you see, you and I, all of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, are the fruit of his labor. In fact, everyone that was ever saved, ever forgiven, in past days from Adam and Eve until today, all those that have accepted God's way of salvation are forgiven and saved on the basis of the finished work of our Lord Jesus the Messiah on the Roman cross, when he became a substitute, the just one for the unjust, in order to bring us to God. So he had to go to the cross. This is the reason why the Messiah came to this world. The Emmanuel, the God with us. The El Gibor, the mighty God. The one who was the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom. The Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, had to make peace through the blood of his cross. So he's ready to leave. And apparently, from verse 27 of John chapter 14, the disciples were troubled. And the disciples were afraid. And so here in the 14th chapter, Yeshua gives them an encouragement and an assurance in order to calm their hearts and to give them a promises and assurance that they can be sustained while he is going away. And you see, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, you and I the same today. Yeshua the Messiah is already in heaven since his death on the Roman cross now for some 2,000 years. And in every generation, the new generation of believers need this encouragement from him as we walk here in this world. Filled with disappointments in this world, filled with discouragement, filled with challenges, here, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, encourages the disciples to look to Him and to trust in Him in anticipation for His return. And so in the first 6 verses, He gives them the first assurance that they will be also, and all believers will be with Him in glory in heaven one day. Let not your heart be troubled. Verse 1, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Which God? Of course, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There is no other God. The Lord God of Israel is the God in whom they have trusted, and he's saying to them, if you believe in God, this is the God of your fathers, believe also in me. In other words, he claiming to be equal with God. Dear brothers and sisters, this is amazing to learn by the word of the Lord. Here is the assurance the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is claiming to be God. You remember what we read in Isaiah 42:8, I am Jehovah, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. God wanted Israel to believe on Him. The disciples believe in God, and therefore the Lord Jesus has said here to them, ye believe in God, believe also in me. I am the God of Israel. I am the one who is equal with the Father. Amazing to see that He's claiming Himself to be divine. So He continued here in verse 2. He's saying to them, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Notice what we read here, this expression, in my Father's house. Notice, Yeshua is now presenting Himself as co-equal with God the Father, as He have already mentioned in John 10 and verse 30, I and my Father are one. And now He's saying, in my Father's house, oh, there are many abiding places, many abodes. In the English it says here, many mansions, it's really many rooms. All those that will trust in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And you notice this expression again in verse 2 at the end, I go to prepare a place for you. This is interesting because how will He prepare a place for the disciples and for all believers, especially during the age of the church age? Because the church age, the assembly age, the people who are part of the body of Christ, the body of Messiah in this present day age of the called out ones, the believers are a heavenly people. And you see, they will have to learn this a little bit later on. They will understand of the truth concerning the heavenly company known as the church, the assembly, the called out ones. To remind you that we read later on in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 3 and 4, Paul wrote that, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, in the Messiah, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. In other words, God has chosen a people that will be belong to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, in glory. Now, it is not always easy to understand, but we must distinguish between Israel as an earthly nation chosen by God and the assembly, the church, as the heavenly chosen people that belong to God. Both are linked with the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, but to Israel, God had promised the land in the land of Canaan, and the promised land in which He will ultimately bless our people of Israel in the future day in the Messianic kingdom. But to the ecclesia, the church, the assembly, He promised the heavenly place in the Father's house. So this expression, in my Father's house, is mentioned here the first time in a sense that it's a unique expression in relationship to the heavenly company. To remind you, that in the Tanakh, obviously, we also read about the promises of God for heaven, in the presence of God, but this expression, Father's house, was not mentioned in the way that it is mentioned here in John chapter 14. In Psalm 16, we read, the psalmist of Israel, that is David, wrote in verse 9, 10, and 11 about the Messiah. Therefore, verse 9, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Why? Because you will not leave my soul in Sheol,
neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. You notice this is applying to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah. And then in verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And if you remember, beloved brothers and sisters, the New Covenant quoted these verses that the David, the King of Israel, wrote prophetically concerning the Messiah. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. To remind you that in Psalm 110, the Messiah is told, sit down at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And so, while there is an eternal link between heaven and earth, there is eternal link between the earthly people of Israel and the heavenly people, the assembly, the church. Yet, the understanding here in John chapter 14 that the Lord present before the disciples here, that He will prepare a place for them and for those that will follow them after the gospel will be preached, the church will be born, they are promised to go to heaven to be with Him in the Father's house. And how He will prepare a place for them, as it says here in verse 2, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, on what basis Yeshua can prepare a place for the sinners like us all? Well, on the basis of the finished work on the tree. He will have to die. A corn of wheat must fall into the ground and die. And then much fruit will come because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, on the tree. So the Lord continue. And in verse 3 and in verse 4 we read, especially, I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You see, what an assurance. What a blessing for these disciples who are now, as we have already mentioned in verse 27 of John chapter 14, they were troubled, they were afraid, He's calming them, Yeshua is giving them assurances here, and He's promising them to say, I will come again, and that I will receive you unto myself. That receiving unto myself will happen at the rapture of the church. Prior to the tribulation period, the heavenly company, those that have trusted in the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, those that will be alive and remain here, when the Lord will come to meet the church in the air before the tribulation, the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Notice that. I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a wonderful assurance, beloved brothers and sisters. And so He continued to give them this assurance that they will be with Him in heaven. He said that whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Well, whither I go, He is going to heaven. The way He goes, they know it, it is through death and burial and resurrection. To remind you, beloved brothers and sisters, that already the Lord Jesus the Messiah said, in verse 33 of chapter 13, little children, yet a little while and I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you. And He gave them that new commandment. And then Peter said to Him, Lord, He said to him in verse 36, whither goest thou? Yeshua answered, whither I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And so, here is the promise that those that belong to the Lord Jesus the Messiah will ultimately be with Him in glory. So you should have known, He's telling them, you know, where I'm going to, because I've already told you I'm returning to heaven. And you know the way, and the way is through death. I will become the promised Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the world. And how wonderful that the Lord is now preparing the hearts of the disciples as He is unfolding before them all the prophecies that were prophesied by the Hebrew prophets of old. All of these prophecies are coming to fruition, especially in connection with the first coming, that He will come to die, to pay for sin. He will be the Lamb of God. He will become a substitute, the just one, for the unjust in order to bring sinners to God. So now notice that, beloved brothers and sisters, now Thomas, his Hebrew name is Teom, and the word Teom in Hebrew means twin. Thomas have twins, because Thomas has a twin, and you and I are his twins. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? You see, dear brothers and sisters, and dear friends, you see, Thomas is often called the one who doubts. And how many times we doubt God in our lives? When trouble comes our way, we doubt. And if you remember that we read, and we will read of Thomas later on, that he doubted in the later passages in the same gospel, this Gospel of John, where Thomas was not in the room where the Lord revealed himself to the disciples, and he did not believe, and he said, I will not believe unless I will thrust my hand in his side. You remember that after the resurrection of the Lord? And so Thomas doubted, and you can see already here in John chapter 14, Thomas says unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how shall we know the way? And Yeshua is saying unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, Thomas doubting, Thomas is not sure, Thomas is asking this question, and you and I, as his twins, are doing so once and again in our lives as believers. And we also oftentimes doubt the Lord. And yet the Lord graciously helps us along. Like he helps Thomas. He said, Thomas, he said unto him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. It is me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. These are beautiful three Hebrew words. Derech, emet, chayim, way, truth, life. These are words that were known to the disciples. And how precious that the Lord is applying these to himself. I am the way to heaven. I am the truth upon which one can believe in order to be right with God and go to be with God. And I am the source of life. I am the life giver. I am the life, lechaim, we say in Hebrew. And if you remember, we have already read, in him was life, John 1 and verse 4. And the life was the light of men. He is the life. He is the source of life, dear brothers and sisters. And here the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, saying to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. To remind you, in Matthew chapter 16, when Yeshua confronted the disciples and he said to them in Caesarea Philippi, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said all sort of things. Some said that you are John, the baptizer, other ones saying that you are Eliyahu or Yirmiyahu or one of the prophets. And Simon answered and said, but whom do you say? And Simon answered, he said unto Yeshua, he said to him, you are the Christ, the Son of the, notice, the living God. Ben Elohim Chaim. Yeshua said, I am Chaim. I am the source of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come unto the Father but by me. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, in these first 6 verses of John chapter 14, Jesus the Messiah is assuring the disciples that they will ultimately go to be with Him in heaven. Do you believe that? Do you see this clearly as it is taught by the Word of God? Do you believe that, my dear? For what a wonderful truth to learn as we study together this passage of the Father's house. And so the Lord is encouraging His disciples to simply understand, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many abiding places, and if it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that, listen to this, where I am, there ye may be also. Wonderful, wonderful assurance that the Lord gives to His own disciples. Well, as we move along in our study together, after Yeshua gave to them the assurance that they will be with Him in heaven, and every one of us can rest in this, if we have trusted in the Lord Jesus the Messiah, we have this assurance that one day we will be with Him in heaven. How wonderful. He that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Soon will the Master come to take us to be with Him in heaven. Well, as Yeshua is still with the disciples in the upper room, He gives them a second assurance here in verses 7 to 11. And this assurance is that they, because they know the Son, because they know the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Son of God, they also know God. They also know God. You remember how He started this, John 14. If ye believe in God, believe also in me. Well, you learn here that the Lord Jesus claiming to be equal with the Father, with God the Father, Elohim HaAbba. And so in verse 7 to verse 11, we do not have to wait until we go to heaven in order to get to know God the Father. We can know God the Father now because we can receive from Him all the resources that we need. And so you notice this in these next verses, verses 7 to 11. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is saying, if you know me, you should also know the Father. Notice that this expression here in verse 7. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him. Notice that. And have seen him. Now this is important to bear in mind, because what the Lord Jesus the Messiah is really showing to the disciples here, that anyone who has seen the Son, anyone who believes in the Son, this is God the Son, as men, they also have seen the Father, God the Father. Now again, to remind you, my dear friend, that these Jewish believers who now walk with the Lord, their understanding was limited. They did not have the whole New Testament, New Covenant written for them. They didn't have even the Holy Spirit of God yet indwelling them in the same way that you and I have Him today. And so they were limited to their understanding. And the Lord is helping them here to grasp certain truths that He's introducing before them. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father. This is something to grasp. You and I read the whole New Testament today, the New Covenant today, and we get information from all the writings that were given by the early apostles to the various local churches in Asia Minor. But they did not have all this, even though they had the Messiah, Jesus, in their midst, and He's explaining this to them, but these are new truths for them. You see, they now receive information that is not known to the religious leaders of old. First of all, they have God the Son as man in their midst. Secondly, they are now anticipating Him going to the cross to die for them. And now, as before Yeshua leaves them, He's giving them this assurance they could continue to follow after Him, knowing that after His departure, they will be experiencing tribulation here. To remind you, that later on, in the very same upper room, He will tell them, in fact, here in the same chapter in which we study together, He will tell them that there will be the prince of this world will come and He will cause all sort of trouble. And they will be experiencing trials and difficulties and tribulation. In fact, if I'll just read this one verse, at the end of chapter 16, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Later on He will tell them, in the very same time, in the very same sitting, you might say, the upper room, that there will be a time when they will experience tribulation. That's why He's encouraging them here, the fact that He is desiring for them to receive blessing from Him in anticipation as He is about to depart from them. And so now in verses 7, He's saying to them, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know Him and have seen Him. Well, they saw the Son, they saw the Messiah, and the Lord is teaching them that whoever seen the Son have seen the Father. Why? Because Yeshua is co-equal with the Father. He is God the Son, He became a man, and He is co-equal with the Father. And therefore, whoever has seen the Son has seen the Father. This is amazing. So we continue, so this time, not so much Thomas, but Philip is now asking a question. Philip says unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. See, now Philip is asking from Yeshua that He will show the Father unto him and unto them. Show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us. And notice what the Lord is telling him, dear brothers and sisters. The Lord is so gracious with Philip as He was with Thomas, as He was with Simon Peter, as He was with all the disciples, and as He is with you and I. He knows our limitation. He knows our weaknesses. He knows that we need assurances. And that's why this 14th chapter is an important chapter, because Yeshua gives assurances to the disciples. And so we read in verse 9, and He said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that have seen me have seen the Father. And how sayest thou, then show us the Father? Yeshua is saying to Philip. In other words, all the time that the Lord was with the disciples, all the time that He spent with them, He sought to explain to them, to reveal to them, to instruct them that He was God the Son. Whoever see Him really saw the Father, because the Lord Jesus the Messiah is equal with God the Father. This is something we all have to grasp. Sadly, many do not believe in the divine nature of the Lord Jesus the Messiah. Sadly, many do not believe in the triunity of the Godhead. And why it is sad? Because who could provide redemption for sinful world? Who could pay for the sin of this world? All of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. None of us can pay for the sin of any other person. So the one that would be able to become a substitute, a just one for an unjust, must be more than just another man, because all that were born of a woman were born sinful. And that's why it was necessary for God to take union, human nature, with His divine nature. That's why the virgin birth was essential. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she shall call His name God with us, Emmanuel. That's why the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is called the seed of the woman. He is God who became a man. And not only the fact that He is divine, but also to understand the triunity of the Godhead. It is very difficult for many to understand it. But the fact that God present before us the triunity of the Godhead must be understood. Otherwise, we will never be able to enjoy that which the Lord given to us in His Word. To Israel, God gave this one amazing statement to recite. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Of course there is only one God, but that one God is consisting and existing in the triunity, in a unity. The word Echad in Hebrew, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The word one in Hebrew is the Hebrew word Echad. And Echad is a compound unity. It is not a distinct unit. And therefore, when God had, through Moshe, reminded Israel that there is only one God, yet He sought to reveal to His people Israel that this one God is a unity, Echad, a compound unity, and not a distinct unit. If you study the Hebrew scriptures, you will notice every time when you read of two or more, it used the word Echad and not Yachid. The word Yachid in Hebrew is a distinct unit. The word Echad in Hebrew is a compound unity. Let a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his own wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Vehayu hashnaim le'echad. The word Echad is mentioned there. Why? Because it is a compound unity. And here we learn this truth that Yeshua sought to convey to the disciples, that not only that they will go to heaven, John 14, 1-6, but also that they actually already know God the Father, verses 7-11, because, as we just read, in verse 9, He that has seen Me has seen the Father. In other words, Philip, how sayest thou, show us the Father? Don't you know that he that hath seen Me hath seen the Father? In verse 10, he continued, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works." Yeshua continued in verse 11, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." Now notice these expressions, beloved brothers and sisters, in verse 10, "Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me." Notice that the Lord is clearly presenting before us the fact that the Father and the Son are a unity. In John 10, he has already said, "I and the Father are one," John 10:30. That's why the Jewish leaders sought to stone him. Why? Because they assumed that he was blaspheming to claim to be equal with God. That's why in verse 33 of John chapter 10, they say, "Because you, being a man, you make yourself God." They understood that he said, "I and the Father are one." They understood that he claimed to be equal with God. That's why they said that he was blaspheming, because for any man to claim that he is God is a blasphemy. Antiochus Epiphanes claimed to be God. It is blasphemy. The future man, Antichrist, counterfeit Messiah, will claim to be God. This is blasphemy. But here we have one that came from heaven, and he truly is God, who was born to the Virgin Miriam, who is truly divine person. He is the one of whom Isaiah said in chapter 7 and verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Immanuel." He was a divine person. He was God. "For unto us a child is born." This is his humanity. "Unto us a son is given." This is his divinity. As God the Son, he was given. "And a government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, El Gibor, the Everlasting Father, the Father of Eternity, the Source of Eternity, and the Prince of Peace, Sar Shalom." Isaiah promised to our forefathers that the Messiah will come and he will enter into this world as a man, but his going forth is from everlasting. Beloved brothers and sisters, this is so important to understand if we are to grasp these truths that are found in the Word of God. In fact, Micah said in chapter 5 concerning the Messiah, he says, "Bethlehem Ephrata," chapter 5 and verse 2, "Though thou be little among the thousand of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel." This is his humanity of the Messiah. But he continued, "whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting," in Hebrew, "mimei olam," "mimei olam," from eternity past. He is the eternal Son. So he says to Philip, "He that have seen me, have seen the Father." And he will learn the two facts that are important to understand. Yeshua claimed to be God, claimed to be divine. And Yeshua the Messiah also claimed to be one of the persons of the Godhead. There is a tri-unity in the Godhead, of which we read throughout Scripture in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name," singular, "of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, of the Abba, of the Ben, of the Ruach HaKodesh," the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God, one God, three persons in the Godhead, co-equal, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, and he that have seen the Father, he that have seen the Son, have seen the Father. We learn here from this passage in John chapter 14 and verses 7 to 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. My dear friend, this is very important for each and every one of us to simply accept the fact that there is the Son of Man, the Messiah himself is co-equal with the Father and with the Spirit, and he that has seen the Son have seen also the Father. So we, as believers, when we know the Son, the Messiah Yeshua, we also, according to the Word of God, know God the Father. Because everything that is found in the Messiah, in the Son, is found in the Father. There is no ongoing, continuous harmony, continuous unity. There is no separation. As we have already read in John 1 and that verse 18, that no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, notice that, which is in the bosom of the Father. The Lord Jesus, the Messiah, while he was here on earth, at the same time he was in the bosom of the Father. This amazing truth to grasp and to understand. Well, the third thing now that the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is encouraging the disciples with here and assuring them is that they have the privilege, as you and I have the privilege, of praying and communicating with our Father in the name of the Son and communicating the burdens that we have in our lives, that he hears our prayer. This is found in verse 12, 13, 14, and 15 of John chapter 14. So listen to this. He continued, Yeshua, to teach, and he said in verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, Jesus the Messiah is teaching the disciples in the upper room, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandment. In these four verses, we have the assurance that we are privileged to pray, to speak to God and share with him our burdens, and there will be an answer to our prayer. Now, of course, you and I might say, well, I don't receive all the answers that I would like to receive from God. Well, God answers prayer. And God assures that he will answer our prayer. He may say no. He may say yes. But he also may say wait. And this is where we need to learn in our life. So we read in verse 12 that Yeshua, Jesus, instructed his disciples to trust and believe on him, and he will enable those that follow after him to do greater works. Now notice, this is an interesting expression in our chapter. In this verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Here's the reason. Why will the disciples will do greater works than he did? He gives us the answer, because I go unto my Father. In other words, when the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, died, was buried, rose again, and ascended, and went back to heaven, to remind you that on the feast of Shavuot, that is Pentecost, 50, the Holy Spirit of God came and formed the body of Christ, the body of Messiah. From there on, all the disciples, all true believers, were indwelt by the person of the Holy Spirit of God. He will develop it, Yeshua, a little bit later on here in this chapter, when he will say in verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he will give unto you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God is a new Comforter that will come to abide with the believers forever. So everyone that is born of the Holy Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God is indwelt in him. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13 we read, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit of God will come and will indwell in each and every true believers individually, but also will indwell the whole body of Christ collectively among his own people. So here we learn the lesson that now that the Spirit of God will come to indwell the body of Christ, the all believers, then the believers will be able to do greater works than these. In other words, what are these greater works? Does that mean that now we'll be able to walk on water, that we'll be able to now to take a serpent and be able to allow him to poison us and on and on and on, and be able to take two fish and bread and be able to multiply and meet the needs of thousands and thousands of people? Well, there were many miracles that the Lord performed through his servants in past history. Does that mean that we now going to raise the dead? Does that mean that right now every one that we will be able to do greater works than the Lord Jesus the Messiah have done in his life? Well, the answer, of course, is not. What does he mean here is that because he goes now back to the Father and he will send the Holy Spirit of God, the greater works will be in sphere. The Lord Jesus the Messiah, when he was here on earth, he was the one that served among the people of Israel in the land of Israel. According to Romans chapter 15, we read, especially in verses 18 and 19, for I will not dare, Paul mentioned in Romans 15, verse 18, for I will not dare to speak any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And you continue to say the apostle is mentioning here the fact that he himself was empowered by the Spirit of God. And he was able by the Spirit of God to do things as the Spirit of God led him. But you notice in the earlier verses, in verse 16, he said that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentile, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentile might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And the apostle Paul was the one that was used by the Lord to minister the gospel and perform many miracles in the power of the Holy Spirit, but none can ever do greater works in power, but it's always greater works in sphere than the Lord Jesus, the Messiah himself, because the Messiah himself was the one that served here on earth among the people of Israel. He worked only in the land of Israel, but when the church was born, the gospel went beyond the borders of Israel. And to remind you, according to Acts chapter 1, the Lord said to his disciples that they will be his witnesses, beginning, as it says here, in Jerusalem, and then all Judea, and beyond Judea to Samaria, and ultimately unto the uttermost part of the earth. So, when we read such a passage, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. The Lord will empower his servants to do great works here upon the face of this earth, and greater works than these shall he do, meaning that he will be able to do greater works in a sense of much more in sphere beyond the borders of Israel. No one can do what the Messiah Jesus have done, but the Lord will use his servants to go beyond the borders of Israel and perform the preaching of the gospel and the early days, the assembly, the miracles in the name of the Lord Jesus that were done in the early days of the church age. But the reason that the Lord mentioning here in John 14 and verse 12, the greater works, is in a sense of a sphere beyond the borders of Israel. And the reason is because now he is going back to the Father, back to heaven via the cross. And from here on, after the Holy Spirit of God will come, he will use the servant of God to preach the message of the gospel, and to perform even in the early days miracles in the name of the Lord Jesus, but beyond the borders of Israel. So the greater works, we must understand that here mentioned in verse 12, that it's not greater works in the sense of power, but greater works in the sense of sphere. And so he continues in verses 13, 14, and 15, the Lord is saying now to the disciples, he said, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And so, beloved brothers and sisters, here is the promise. Here is the assurance. The third assurance here in John chapter 14, that the believers will ask in prayer, in Messiah, in Christ's name, in Yeshua's name, and he promised to do what we request. And asking in his name, meaning to ask in accordance with his will. That's what he is emphasizing here when Yeshua is speaking to his disciples. Whatever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So when we pray, and when we ask God for many things that we have desires in our heart, we must ask that in accordance with the will of the Lord Jesus the Messiah. In 1 John chapter 5, we read in verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according, listen to this, according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. Yeshua hears our cry. He hears our prayer. But we must ask, we must pray according to his will. Notice that in Matthew 6 and verse 9 we read, thy will be done. The Lord have instructed the disciples to pray. And so we conclude here in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So the disciples are encouraged to obey. And we also are encouraged to obey the Lord. You know, sometimes there is a song that is being sung. If we are to be happy in Christ, in the Messiah,
we need to trust and to obey. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus, to be happy in Yeshua, but to trust and obey. So in these verses, 1 to 15 of John chapter 14, we have seen how Yeshua is encouraging the troubled disciples, the ones that were afraid now, knowing that he is about to leave them. The Lord is encouraging them and giving them the assurance that he is going to heaven, to the Father's house, but he will come to take them to be with him. Secondly, he is encouraging them that they have to be assured that they, because they have seen God the Son, him as a man, they also know God the Father. And thirdly, the Lord Jesus the Messiah is assuring them that they will receive answer to their prayers. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, Yeshua said, I will do it. Beloved brothers and sisters, may the Lord help us to seek the will of the Lord, to seek to serve him, and to be encouraged, because soon and very soon, the Master will come, the Messiah will come, the Lord Jesus will come to rapture the church, the assembly, to be with him in heaven. And then he will come with the assembly, and he will restore Israel back to himself. And then the whole world will recognize him, and he will rule and reign over this world for 1,000 years, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. May this day will come soon. God bless you, and until the next time together, I will say to you all, Shalom, Shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.